Luke chapter 9, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Let me check this. Luke chapter 9, title this message, Eight Vital Questions. Eight vital questions. You may remember not long ago, eight or nine exhortations from 1 Thessalonians 5. Eight questions we need to ask ourselves here in these verses. Look at verses 23 through 27. Luke 9, 23 through 27. The Lord said to them all his disciples, if any man or any person will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what? For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples here. These were men that he chose and he called, he revealed himself to. They were born again. These were men who feared him. These were men who knew him. They knew who he was. Knew a little bit about why he came. They believed him. They loved him. They followed him implicitly. Except Judas. You know, Judas is not, he's there, but he's not one of them. They're like little children. They follow him. They believe him. The Lord is speaking to all of them. That's who he's speaking to. And speaking to us, because he wrote it down for us to read. Verse 23, he said to all. So this is written to all of his disciples, his chosen, his little children, his people, and they believe it. But the Lord is stating a truth here. Here's what I want us to see. He's not trying to get these men to, not trying to convince them of anything. He's not trying to get them to follow him. They already are. Okay? They've already denied themselves. They've already forsaken everybody to follow him. The Lord didn't come here to earth to try to do anything. Didn't come here to try to convince people of anything. He came here to save his people. He came here to reveal himself to his people, his chosen people. He came to call them by his gospel, by his word. He came to call them out. He came to teach them, to lead them, to guide them, and they all follow him. When he calls them, they follow him. And I believe he called me one day. Still calling me. I had an old dog, and I never quit calling him all my life until he died. But I didn't call anybody else's dog. I called my dog. And so we're called by the gospel, and keep calling us, what do? We follow him. We keep coming. Want to hear his voice and worship him. Now, here's the thing. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus came to talk to him, to ask him questions. Okay? I want to discuss that. And our Lord, about all the Lord said to him was, you must be born again. Nicodemus wanted to, how? Can this, tell me how. Said, you a master in Israel and you don't know his name? You must be born again. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. You must be born from above. And so the Lord is not telling anybody how to be saved. He does the saving. He's just stating some facts here. He that hath the Son hath life. That's what John said. Christ is their life and all that that means. What is a Christian? A lot of people use that term today, don't they? What is a Christian? Let me put it very plainly. Christ is all to them. That's what a Christian is. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is all to them. He's their all. He's their life. He's their salvation. He's everything. I just read a paper, a young student of religious studies was given the task of doing an interview with a Christian. And he interviewed someone, and he asked that person many questions in his research to put on his research paper. This young man wasn't searching for the truth. It's obvious. He was just discussing things. Was it searching? It was research. All right, he asked this professing believer the questions. Stephen, and not one question about Jesus Christ. Not one. It's all about modern, what's going on, this virus, and what do you think about this, and where you go for counsel and your you know. Who you listen to, and where do you go to, and websites that you, and what's your church doing right now, and all those things. Not one question about Jesus Christ. They asked our Lord Jesus Christ several questions. You remember that? They asked him several questions about who you pay taxes, about marriage, and this and that and the other. And he answered them and silenced them all. And finally, he asked them one question. You remember them. You know them. And this is the question of all questions. This is what, whether or not you have salvation. This is the question of eternal life. And this is the question that will answer, the answer to it will answer any question you want to ask in this life. What thank ye, Christ? That's what he asked. And they couldn't answer. What do you think the answer of Simon Peter or Paul or James or John would be when somebody wanted to interview them about what they thought about things? Back then. Okay? There's our Lord. There's God manifest in the flesh. God walking the earth. Right there. There he stands. God manifest in the flesh. And they'd come and ask Simon Peter, what do you think about this present virus or thing going on? He sent it. No, ask him. Call on him. You need to bow to him. That's not the question. That's not what you need to ask. You need to bow your knee to this one who sent this. Yeah, but where do you go for your wisdom? Who, what website do you? Him. He's my counselor. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the wisdom of God. He's the power of God. I don't consult men. Him. His word. And on, he asked any question of them. What would they say? It's him. He's everything. That's the believer, the Christian. What do you believe? Him? Where do you go for answer? He is the way, the truth, and the life. What about this? What about that? What about it? What think ye of Christ? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word of his shall pass away. He must be born again. These disciples knew that. Christ was their life. Christ was their all. That's what it means. All right, let me ask you 8 questions, okay? I mean, it won't be long, I hope. We need to ask ourselves these 8 questions from these verses. Verse 23, he said, if any man will come after me, if any person will come after me, and then we need to ask our question, what am I after? Ask ourselves, what am I after? What is it I'm after? What do you want? when I was real young, man, I was after everything. Everything. And now I'm not real young anymore, but I finally, by God's grace, realize that, you know, everything in this world is vanity. That there's nothing worth going after. Nothing. Seriously. And by God's grace, by God's mercy and grace, He has revealed to me that Christ really is all. He really is. In Psalm 27, David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord." He was taken up to cry and inquire into His temple. In Psalm 73, he said, "Whom?" I want to read this to you. Psalm 73:25. He said this. He said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth I desire beside thee." He said, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Can we say that? We're going to lose everybody and everything in this world. That which is dearest to us, we're going to lose it. It's going to be real soon. What am I after? Here's the next question, verse 23. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Do I deny myself? Did you all hear the message before this? I don't know. If not, this is what it means to deny yourself. It's to deny your self-worth. None of God's people think they're worth anything. It's to deny your wisdom. I don't know anything. I can't do anything. It's to deny your works. Nothing I've ever done counts for nothing. It's to deny your pride. It's to deny your glory. God forbid, Paul said, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Can you say that? Can you say that when Christ died, I believe, I hope, I want that to be me and the world to me and me to the world. Can you say that? Here's my next question. Verse 24. It says, verse 23. "And follow me." Do I follow him? Do I follow him? He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I call them and they follow me." Do I follow Christ? Or do I follow someone else? There aren't many people listening to what Christ said right now. They're hanging on the words of everybody. And nobody has a clue. Our leaders, world leaders, our government, nobody knows what to do. They don't know what tomorrow brings. But everybody's listening to them and hanging their every hope and care, waiting on some good news from men. That's pretty foolish, isn't it? That's pretty foolish. "Those that go down to Egypt," Isaiah 30 says, "Pharaoh, he's not to help. He can't help you. Why don't we call on him? All authority is given unto him in heaven and earth. All flesh. He has power over all flesh." You ever thought about that? What that means? All flesh. What kind of flesh? Flesh. Anything. Plants, animals, animals, men. All power over all flesh. Organisms. All power over all flesh, he said. Nobody has any power whatsoever but Jesus Christ. That's who I'm going to follow. That's who I'm going to look to. Follow him. Listen to Paul in Ephesians. Listen to what he said here, Ephesians 1 or 2. He said, "I was once walking according to the course of this world." Following. I was a follower of this world. "But God, rich in mercy, quickened me," quickened us together. And he said, "Now I follow him." I was once following the crowd, weren't you? Following the crowd. Now I'm following him. Philippians, listen to this, Philippians 3. He said, I want to know him. I want to, if I might attain the resurrection of the dead. He said, I'm not perfect yet, but I follow after. It's him on that. I follow him. So I'm pressing toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ. He said, may we be minded like that. Do I follow him? Do you? You know? Look at verse 24. Again, verse 24. He says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Do I want to save my life? Do I think my life is worth saving? What is my life? Listen again. Listen to Philippians 1. Listen to verse 21. Paul said this. And remember, he that hath the Son hath life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die, he says, gain. So I'm looking forward to it. Only somebody that knows Christ can say that. Listen to this. Colossians 3. We need to ask ourselves, is Christ my life? He said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your heart on things above, not on things of the earth. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Our Lord's going to go on to say that there's going to be some going to be with me in glory. Is Christ my life? Is it? Do I want to save this life? Do I want to stay here forever? Now, I would not discourage anyone, young or old, from enjoying anything in this life. Don't let me do that. I don't want to do that at all. There's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with wanting a home, wanting a marriage, wanting children. It's the Lord giveth us all things to richly enjoy. But none of those things last. None of those things give us lasting happiness. Scripture says vanity of vanity. None of those things will give us any real joy, lasting joy, because we're going to lose them. And you are told to not set our affection on things, but rather him. Because you never lose him. Job lost everything, didn't he? He lost everything. He didn't lose his God. He didn't lose his Christ. He didn't lose his hope. He didn't lose his peace. He said the Lord gave it to him. The Lord taken away. Did he miss his children? Sure did. Was he sorrowful? He sure was. But he's rejoicing in the Lord. Can't take that from me. And someday when he takes me, he gave me eternal life and I'll never perish. Job said, I'm going to see God. My Redeemer liveth. I'm going to go see him one day. So I'm just going to wait. Job said, I'm waiting for my change. Can you say that? Huh? That's what our Lord's saying. If you save your life, you'll lose it. People, you know, save up. And I don't guess there's anything. Well, yeah, it's something wrong with that. If you trust in riches, ask people 1929 about their life savings. What happened to it? Gone in a moment. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the strong man in his strength, the rich man in his riches, and so on and so forth. Why? Because we're seeing right now, Lord, take it all away in just a minute. Oh, to be rich in faith, rich in peace and joy that's in the Lord. Listen to the next question, verse 25. What would it What is a man's advantage if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Do I want the world? What do I want? What in the world do I want? Now, we're all materialistic. Yes, we are. And we all want things, but tell me if it's not so with you. Is it not so that you've set your affection on something? You think you have to have it. And you think about it, and you research it, and you go online, and you think about it, and you save up, and you got all this money saved up, and then as soon as you get it, I mean just as soon as you get it, it's lost its luster. That guitar right there, you see that? I wanted that so bad. I was looking for one just like that. And I researched and I went online and I did everything. I said, I've got to have it. Got to have it. I got it, Laura. There she is. You know what it is? A guitar. It's just a piece of wood and metal. That's all it is. I'm thankful for it. But, and I enjoy it. I play the heck out of it. But, it's just not what it cracked up to be. And you can say that about anything in this world. Here's what Paul said again. Paul said this, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but I didn't lose a thing. He said, it's like dung. Dung, refuge. It's going to be thrown out. That's what it's all going to turn to. Finest house is going to crumble if the Lord doesn't come in the next 100, 200 years. The finest house is going to lie in rubble and be go back to dirt. Dung. So, what do I want in this world? Look at the next question, verse 25. What would you want? What would you take in exchange for yourself? Your soul, he said in another place. Lose your soul or be cast away. Cast away. Turn to Psalm 51 with me. Psalm 51. Turn over there. Do you worry about being cast away? That's my question. Cast away. Most people just don't want to die. Don't want to leave this world. But here's what David's desire was. I turned to Isaiah. That's Psalm 51. And there's a reason why this is God's people, one of their favorite psalms. Psalm 51, it starts out, have mercy upon me, O God. Oh, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. You know what that means? Sure you do. If you have the salvation of it, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me, against thee, my creator, my father, my benefactor, against thee and thee only, my Lord, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You'll be justified when you speak. You'll be clear when you judge me. If you judge me, if you pour out your wrath on me, you'll be clear in doing it. You'll be just in doing it. But look at verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence. Don't cast me away. Can you say that? Lord, don't cast me away. You remember Ruth pleading with Naomi? Don't treat me not to leave you. I don't want to go back. She said, well, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Those aren't my gods. I don't want to go back to that. That man sitting right here, used to be in religion and all that. I preached a message one time. He said, it's a great encouragement to me. He said, I need to hear Christ, and I don't want to go back to that. Our Lord turned to his disciples one day, and many people, it's too hard, it's too much, too serious. What you say is a hard thing. They don't like that. And they left. And our Lord said to his disciple, "Will you go away? There's a door. Go. Go away." And Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we? To what? To go back to what? I don't want to go back to that. You brought me out of that. I was following everything. I was after everybody. Now you came and called me. I'm following you. Please don't entreat me not to leave you from following you. I want to, you have words of life, Lord." That's what he said to our Lord. This is life. Is Christ your life? Is this gospel your life? Is it you? There aren't many of us in here. I hope, I pray that you're here because you need this. Not, if ever there was a reason, a good excuse maybe to not come, be now. Right? Why am I here? I need this. I need this gospel. I do. Anything or anyone worth losing Christ for? Is anything or anyone worth losing Christ for? Well, look at this. Or be cast away. I had an old dog. I preached a little while. Now let me tell you something. I had an old dog, and you've heard about him many times, Abner. And that's a good, I just thought about it, Abner. One time somebody asked me, Vicky, why'd you name him Abner? Remember Abner, the story of Abner? He followed Saul. For a while there, he was David's enemy. But not forever. The Lord called him back. The Lord turned him to David. Remember, he came to David. He said, if you'll have me, I'll turn all Israel back to you. Abner. But anyway, I had an old dog named Abner. And, oh, he followed me all the days of his life. He followed me. He was an outside dog. That's where dogs belong in the charm. That's where they belong. Somebody said you have a dog in your house, you live in a dog house. Dog belong outside. You hear that, people? Well, we had one inside too. But anyway, old Abner, he was so humble, he was so meek, he loved me so much, and he wanted to be around me so much. But every now and then, the door, somebody would open the door, and he'd dart through that door. He'd run into the house, okay? And Lauren, he'd fly down. And he prostrated himself. And he's like, I won't move. I won't cause any trouble. I won't do anything. If you just leave me in the house. Just let me in the house. I'll just stay right here. That's what he do. Charlie, the one in the house, all he wanted was out. Till he almost was on that high and got out in the snow one time. Go back in the house. But old Abner, he'd say, "Don't, please, don't cast me out. I just want to stay right here." That makes sense? That's what David said. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire into his temple. Lord, don't cast me out. I don't deserve to be here. Abner said, I know I'm an outside dog. But he knew I was merciful. Well, it's real cold, Stephen. I come on up by the fire, old buddy. You stay here. Kick Charlie out. No, I wouldn't do that. Do I fear being cast out? Only people that esteem the house of God, Christ, salvation. Only those fear being cast out. Those people don't care. Not interested. Look at the next question, verse 26. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Brethren, the truth of God right now, the truth of God, who God is, sovereign, that he does all, the true God. He's angry, God of wrath and judgment, that God sent this. He's never been hated more than now. You tell people that God sent this, they'll hate you. Even religion won't say this. You tell people that God did this because God's holy, God's sovereign, God is offended, God is angry every day. God hateth all workers of iniquity. God is a God of judgment. God will punish sin. God is holy. He cannot clear the guilty. He will not clear the guilty. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's love, but only in Christ. Only in the ark. There's one way. No, he doesn't love Muslims. No, he doesn't love Hindus. No, he doesn't love Buddhists and all that. He loves his people in Christ. And you better get to Christ. You better come to Christ. That's what the scripture says. Nothing is hated more than that than now. Nothing. Never been hated more than that. Nothing. You tell people that man is evil. That's why this has happened. Man is proud. Man is evil. Man is against God. Man deserves this. You tell people that? No. Action. You tell people that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's nobody worth saving. Tell them that. You know that's what this book is. Not worth saving. You tell them that. Tell them all our works are useless. Morality, filthy rags. Tell them that. That's Isaiah 64:6. Tell them that all our righteousness, it doesn't matter how moral anybody is, it doesn't account for anything. Only what Jesus Christ did on the cross, suffering divine vengeance against sin and wrath against sin and bloodshed, his soul. People hate that. And they call that God a monster. You tell them you're only saved from wrath, a bloody death by a sovereign substitute. Tell them God is true and every man is a liar. Man is not worth listening to. His wisdom is worthless. What do you think about it? What do you think about what I just said? Are you ashamed of it? That's what our Lord said. Anybody's ashamed. And here's the sad and tragic and dreadful thing is that the people glory in what they ought to be ashamed of. And they're ashamed of what they ought to glory in. Men ought to be ashamed of themselves, but they're glorying and they're proud of it. They ought to be ashamed. God's people glory in Him. They glory in Christ. They glory in what He's done. They glory in Him. They've seen His glory. Look at that. Verse 26, it says, the Son of Man will come. When He comes, He's going to come in His glory. And His Father's glory. And the holy angels' glory. And Stephen, religion has changed His glory. Romans 1 says, they don't acknowledge His glory. They don't acknowledge Him as God. They've changed His glory. They glorify man, man's will, man's works, man's decision, man's faith. Not the glory of God in choosing a people and saving and quickening Christ dying for them and Christ satisfying justice. They don't believe any of that. They don't preach any of that. They've changed His glory into a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And God is angry. That's why all this, that's why I said all of this. And this ain't nothing compared to what's coming. This is when His anger's wrath is kindled just a little bit. And that's why. You know that, don't we? We know that. And religion? Glory in what they ought to be ashamed of. Ashamed of their glory. They ought to be ashamed. Have I seen His glory? You know how ironic it is, and that's my last question. Have I seen His glory? Have you considered, and only been 33 minutes, have you considered how that all this stuff and these people that the world is glorying in, athletes, movie stars. God shut it all down. These athletes, these prima donnas, these multi-millionaire athletes that people hang on, that idolize them and go and just think they're something. There ain't nothing now. Ain't nobody cares if a man can throw a football 75 yards or not. What difference does it make? We're dying. Nobody cares if somebody can hit a little round ball 300 yards. Who gives a flip? He ain't worth nothing. Now, he never was worth anything. Nobody was. Nobody is. Nobody on the top side of this earth is worth glorying in. It's all vanity. It's all useless. Sports, arts, crafts, politics. Our politics will our politicians, our leaders are huddled up, Charles. They're huddled up. Scared. And ain't nobody listening to Jesus Christ. Boy, I am. Boy, I am. How about you? Everybody will be ashamed of themselves. They're not. Why? Because they haven't seen His glory. When you see His glory, you won't see any glory anywhere else. And in fact, when you hear people glory, it'll make you angry. It'll make you mad. That's right. It'll make you mad, especially in religion. Man. One person deserves all the glory and honor. And He's coming. And when it's all over, when Christ splits the skies wide open, nobody will be thinking about anybody but Jesus Christ. The whole earth, Sister Vicki, will see then and then, when it's all over, one person. He really is all in Him. And to think that all this stuff in ashes. What a fool. But I believe some of you here, He said here that last verse, I tell you the truth, some of you standing here, some standing here are not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. That's you and me, John. Say it was John, the disciple John, on Isle of Patmos. He said, yeah, I had too. I've seen His glory. I've seen His kingdom. I've heard the gospel of the kingdom. I believe I'm in it. And Christ said, those that believe will never die. You won't even taste the death. It won't be death to you. It'll be sleep. All right, stand with me.